We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Let's pray. Everybody say, sing. O barren woman. Oh, that was pathetic. I want everyone to say, sing. O barren woman. Father, as we come around this message, this title, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to every single person. I pray, Lord, tonight that there would be a breakthrough for everyone that feels there's something going on in their life that is barren. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Those that don't yet know you as Lord and Savior will find you tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, those who are away from you will come home to you tonight. Lord, I thank you for every believer. And Lord, I'm believing tonight there will be breakthrough in the atmosphere. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated, everyone. Give someone a high five as you're doing it. I'm reading all these little notes. There's so many little handwritten notes here. Okay, Isaiah 54, Isaiah. Is that better? Everybody say Isaiah. That's how you pronounce it in heaven, in case you didn't know. It's not Isaiah. It's Isaiah. Everybody say Isaiah. I just think it sounds cooler. Isaiah, don't you? I think that sounds better. It sounds more anointed, don't you think? Isaiah. Chapter 54, verse 1. Some of you wouldn't agree with me no matter what I said. Okay. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. I mean, if you read this, it sounds like the prophet is mocking a barren woman. It sounds like he's causing her to feel even greater shame. He sounds like the most insensitive, inappropriate thing that you could ever say. He says, burst into song. Shout, he says, for joy. You who were never in labor. You want to talk about, if you read this on face value, rubbing it in a woman's face. You who were never in labor. You sing, O barren woman. Burst forth into song. Break, shout with joy. It's not, if you read it, you need to know what's going on. This man was a prophet, and he's declaring in the middle of a woman's barrenness, and it goes, because more are the children of the desolate woman than her who has a husband, says the Lord. Can I tell you, God has an answer to your barrenness. God has an answer to barrenness, which is emptiness, to what is a void, to a sense of just great dissatisfaction, a lack of productivity. I don't know what your barrenness is tonight, but I want to show you even God-fearing, righteous people will experience times of barrenness. Come on, somebody. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, this is where this comes from, by the way. This whole thought about barrenness, I think, is found in this one verse. The Bible says, he, God, has set eternity, or also has set eternity into the heart of every man, woman, and child. So the Bible says God has set eternity in your heart. Isn't it funny how people are looking for the significance of eternity? They're looking to understand beyond the here and now and out into what's beyond. And so if God has set eternity in your heart, and you are trying to fill your life with just temporal things, you will know barrenness. You will feel like no matter how much you try to fill your life with things that the world has to offer, that you will still feel like there's something missing, because there's a God-shaped hole in you that only God himself can fill. Matter of fact, St. Augustine put it this way. I love this quote. For you have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Have you ever been in a crowded room and people are all over, but you feel like you're there all by yourself, and you feel like you just feel like there's something, you feel this, not just like this separation. The Bible says God has said, this world will never satisfy you. The only thing that can bring peace is to understand what Augustine said. You have made us for yourself, O God. And our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. C.S. Lewis put it this way. I love this quote. He goes, if I find, come here, listen to this. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is I was made for another world. Did you hear that? I know my voice sounds really weird right now. And it's like, did you hear that? Did you hear that? But let me tell you something. It is absolutely true. God has put eternity inside of you. And you can try to figure out your life, your way, and be that person that just defines your own life. And you can try and fill it with fame, fortune, success, peace, and happiness. You can try and get it with your friends. You can try to get significance in your job and get meaning out of your own philosophies. But let me tell you, you will still be restless of a nighttime because God has put eternity in your heart, and only He can satisfy it. You see, for this woman, barrenness was shameful. There was no future. Everything she had in her future died with her. There was no reproduction of family. Her body isn't working like others. There is no family for her. There is no security for her, because that's a way in which people were taken care of, was through family. They didn't have the government in those days. There was no security. There was nothing. There was no name to pass on. I remember when Sam had baby Thunder. I said, well, Sam, one thing I am happy about the name is his last name is Kelly. And the Kelly name will live on. There was no family. There was no family name. The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 28, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And so here is this woman who was not feeling the blessing of God, for she was barren. And the Bible says one of the evidences of the blessing of God is children. Come on, somebody. And it says, and you are to subdue the earth and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. God told them that He blessed them, and He told them to multiply. There was no blessing for this woman. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 6, children are a crown of old men. Well, that's what I've got now. My children have children. That means I'm old according to the Bible. And the glory of their children, listen to this, is their father. Now, I watch Jared and Alyssa, and I want to tell you something. I watch it when Jax looks at dad, and the Bible says here, watch it now, and the glory of children is their father. I watch his eyes light up when he sees his dad. There is something satisfying in knowing that you have a son, you have a daughter, and there's something powerful about being a father, according to Scripture. The Bible says in Psalm 127, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So if you have no children, you have no reward. You have no children, you have no blessing. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. I love that. I'm trying to teach Jax, this is what boys do. This is what men do. He's got a great mother, but we don't want smother. I want that little boy to be tough and manly. And he's got a grandmother, Shaz, who was so protective of him. My job is to be roughing him and toughing him. And just tonight, upstairs in the back room, before Jared was there, I said to Jax, get in that little coffee table. There's a little, like a barrel with a lid. And I said, get in there, Jackson, put the lid over you. And Shazzy is going, no, it's dark. He could get scared. And I said, Jax, it's what boys do. Yeah. Amen. You take your son out, you teach him how to pee on the grass. I did that once. He peed all over me. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who finds his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies at the gate. I guess I'm not, I promise you, I'm not insensitive to somebody here tonight who is barren. I want to speak to you that God has an answer for your barrenness. I am not trying to make it rub your nose in it by reading these scriptures. I'm trying to give you two things. One, and then an understanding that God has an answer for you. But number two, I want people to understand the pain, the shame of that moment of barrenness. And so think about this. Noah, the Bible says, blessed the kids who covered his nakedness, but he cursed the son who exposed it. Rebecca was jealous for the son that she loved to be blessed even by deceit. And Esau, when he found out that his brother lied to his father and the father gave the blessing, there was but one blessing. It was to the firstborn son. And when Esau says, Dad, is there anything left for me? I gave it all to Jacob. I thought Jacob was you. And Esau, the Bible says, cried painfully, mourning, grieving. How powerful did he understand how important that blessing was? And he didn't get it. Can I tell you? We read scripture in Genesis chapter 30. It says, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and she said to Jacob, listen to this, give me children or else I'll die. Can you see the importance of this? Can you see how meaningful it is when Isaiah is speaking to this woman in her barrenness? The barrenness is the absence of fruitfulness. It's the absence of something highly valuable. Are you hearing me? Churches that don't reach unsaved people are barren. I want to say that again. I actually think God will close the womb of a church if they are not reaching lost people. Come on, somebody. How important is it that we make sure that we are here not just for ourselves, for those who don't yet know Jesus. Can somebody say amen? You see, a church can be barren. Can I tell you, you can be barren in your relationships where you got no friends. When you're sitting at home and you got no one to call to go to coffee with. You got no one to be a friend. You want to play some sort of sporting activity, but you got nobody. But yet the Bible has an answer even for that. Do you know the Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man who has friends must show himself to be friendly. The answer to the barrenness of friendship is you be the answer to your need. You show yourself to be friendly. You go out of your way and be friendly, and it is amazing how you'll find friends. Maybe there's a barrenness in your health. We heard Mark Edwards talk about that this morning and all that took place. The Bible says, and I heard Jared talk about it today. It says in John 5, verse 6, when Jesus saw him and he was lying there and he knew he'd been there for a long time, he said to him, do you actually want to get better? And Jesus was speaking to this man's emptiness of healing. Jesus was saying, there's an answer, there's a breakthrough. The Bible says you can be barren in your conscience. Did you know that? You can have no conscience. And you can actually be living a life of sin and have no conscience to it even being a sin. Look at this one, Ephesians 4. Look what it says in verse 19. Having lost all sensitivity. That's what the Bible calls a seared conscience. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to every sensuality and so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And they are full of greed. The scary part about this verse is they don't even know because they've lost sensitivity. They have no feeling. They have no emotion. You can be barren in your finances. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says in Haggai, you expected it much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, watch this. I blew it away. God is the devourer. God will see to it. If his house is not your priority and you hang on to your finances, God will see to it that which should have gone to his house, you'll never spend it either. You can be barren. Thank you for that underwhelming response. Somebody should be saying, preach, preacher. Amen. Why declares the Lord? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you are busy doing your own house. You can be barren in your job. Get no meaning, no satisfaction. You just feel like you're going through the motions. You just feel like there's barrenness, there's emptiness. There's no joy, there's no satisfaction, there's no fulfillment. Do you know, I think you can be barren in your emotions. Come on, somebody. Just no feeling of general sense of happiness and health and well-being. Just the inability to just, you know, there was times when maybe you were able to pick yourself up, but this, you find yourself at a place where there's nothing left. Everybody say, sing, O barren woman. Let me show you somebody in the Bible. The Bible says were good people and yet had barrenness. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia. Now listen to me, of the course of Abia. Did you know there were so many priests in this day in which this was written and preceding this that actually wisdom came where all these priests couldn't be all serving at the same time. So when it says of the course, everybody said, everybody was like, you're of this priestly division, but well, you'll be of this course. And this course will be week one. And this course will be week two. And this course will be week three. And so the course of Abia means you were probably the week three priest that was on duty. Do you ever see this? So they all served, but they didn't all serve all the time to allow all of them to participate. And the Bible says here, and his wife was the daughters of, were of the daughters of Aaron. Aaron, the very first priest. She's of the daughter. This girl's got some good blood in her. Are you hearing me? And it says, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and all the ordinance of the Lord blamelessly, yet they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. I want you to notice this. Look at me, my friend. You might think there's something wrong with you if you're going through some barrenness, but the Bible says here, listen to it, they were both righteous before God. The Bible says they walked in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord. The Bible says they were blameless. I mean, what a good report to have. They were righteous, walking in all the commandments, blameless. And yet we see, look at this, that something wasn't quite right. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they're both now old. This couple seemed to be perfect in every way. They were righteous, yet barren. They were walking the commandments, yet still barren. Blameless, yet nonetheless barren. A priest of the order of Abia, yet living a non-productive life. A daughter of Aaron, the first great high priest, yet sterile. Both of them of the priesthood family, and yet fruitless. And out of this barrenness, God brings John the Baptist. Can I tell you something tonight? No wonder the Bible says, sing, O barren woman, you who have no child, for more will the children be of the desolate. You think about who the John the Baptist was and what he did and what he proclaimed and how he prepared people. You just don't know how that God is using that barrenness to do something that would exceed far beyond anything of a natural birth and a conception. So here's what I want to tell you. God is brilliant at making something out of nothing. What you feel is barren, God can work with it. Can anybody say amen? Genesis 1 verse 2, the earth was formless and void. In other words, barren. It was empty and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Yet the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Can I tell you, when you feel like there's nothing going on, when you feel like there is no breakthrough, when you feel like you just turn from one sad, sorry story to another, you're in a perfect place for a miracle. You're in the perfect place for a breakthrough. If you can get your eyes off of the situation and put them on Jesus and know that there is a breakthrough ready to come. Can I say this? If God isn't building it, it is barren. If God isn't building it, it is barren. Look at the Bible says, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. You can be trying doing this all night. You can be trying to make this happen, but if God isn't building it, it isn't going to last. If you can try to do it your way, you can huff and you can puff. You can try and do it. The Bible says it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit. Unless the Lord is building your marriage, unless the Lord is in your marriage and He's building your marriage, can I tell you something? There is something of emptiness and dissatisfaction. Unless the Lord is building your business, unless He's the partner of your life, unless He's the co-CEO, the help that causes you to make decisions in wisdom, can I tell you, you can do everything you can to try to build your life and make it successful. And we can even look at it in the natural and admire the success of people who seem to have done great things. Yet I find often those are the most barren. Can anybody say amen? Mark chapter 8 verse 36. This is what the Bible says. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? Don't be jealous of worldly success. Unless the Lord is building this thing, it profits nothing. Can anybody say amen? Job put it this way in Job 20, that the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the godless is momentary. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can look at the world and we can think, man, the world seems to be living, it seems to be an easier, less complicated life than what we are. But the Bible says, but the triumphant of the wicked, listen to it, is only short and the joy of the godless is momentary. Here's the next thought I want to give you about barrenness. We were born barren and you will die barren. Thank you for the underwhelming response. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of it either. You see, my friends, it really does matter what you do here on planet Earth. Anybody say amen? See, you were born with nothing and you will neither take anything out of it. I want to tell you, God can work in your barrenness. Amen. Here's the next thought. Only God can fill the emptiness that's in our hearts. You see, the Bible says, the very first scripture, He has said eternity. Look at me. You can think and find it with your friends. You think you can find joy and satisfaction. But the Bible says God said eternity in your heart. Nothing will ever be able to please you, fulfill you, satisfy you, gratify you, cause you to live a fulfilled, meaning, purposeful life than knowing God. Come on, somebody needs to shout amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise right now if you believe that. Give God some praise. Here's the next thing I want to say to you. Only God can fill the emptiness that's in our hearts. Only God can. Every one of us has got a God-shaped hole. We're all barren. Every one of us outside of God, and only God can fill that barrenness. The Bible says in John 4, verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. And this woman says, give me that water that I may always never have to come back to this well. And she didn't understand Jesus was speaking about, you are looking for love in all the wrong places. You keep coming back to this well because you're thirsty. You keep trying to find peace and satisfaction in the arms of someone who's not your husband. And you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now isn't your husband. And you've been looking for meaning and satisfaction in a relationship. And sweetie, if you only knew that man cannot give you that which you're looking for you have a God-shaped hole. And if you knew the water that I give, you'd never thirst again. You'd never be running from man to man, relationship to relationship, you would find satisfaction. So let me give you the keys to breaking barrenness. Is this okay? Anybody getting something out of this tonight? Okay, here's the first one. Everybody say sing. God, that was terrible. Say sing.
Sing.
Sing. The first key to breaking barrenness in your life is sing. Even if you don't have a good voice like me, sing. It's not about how well you sing. It's whether you sing. Sing. Did you know there are some amazing benefits to singing? Did you know that singing strengthens your immune system? Did you know that singing is a workout? Did you know that singing improves your posture? Did you know singing helps you sleep well of a nighttime? Did you know that singing has psychological and emotional benefits? No wonder the Bible says sing, because singing is a natural antidepressant. Singing, listen to this, lowers your stress levels. Singing, listen to this, can cause you to widen your circle of friends. Singing boosts your confidence. Singing broadens your communication skills. Singing increases your ability to appreciate other singers. Singing, let me tell you, sing, oh barren woman. Think about it. It actually strengthens your immune system. Singing. Singing gives you confidence. How many of you have grabbed a hairbrush and stood in front of the mirror in your bathroom and started singing and nobody else is around, and in your own head at least, you sounded good. Come on. Singing. No wonder the Bible says sing. If singing can do all that is medically and psychologically proven, the benefit and the power of singing. No wonder the Bible says, and listen, it says, sing with joy, not nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows. It's not say sing the blues. Certainly doesn't say sing country and western and get yourself more depressed. Yeah, I know. You all love country and western. Keys to breakthrough. Number one, sing. Number two, listen to this. Can I just say this? A key to a breakthrough is what actually singing does is it actually helps you locate yourself. You say, what are you talking about? Sing! Listen to it. Oh, barren woman. Who? Oh, barren woman. You who are the children of the desolate. You talking to me? Yeah, that would be you. It helps you locate yourself. Who, me? Yes, you. You who never bore a child. Isn't it funny that often people who are barren are the people who know last that they are barren? I mean, I'll give you an example. I think about the time when Elijah wanted to do something for a Shunammite woman, and the Bible says she was a well-to-do woman. That seemed as if there was a lack of barrenness if you're called to be a well-to-do woman. And even though she was well-to-do, there was a need, there was a lack, there was a deficiency in her life, and she was so used to the deficiency and the lack that she even didn't know what she lacked anymore. She didn't even know it was barren anymore. She was so used to living with the barrenness, even though she was well-to-do, she didn't know there was still this era of barrenness because it was too painful, so she put it aside and shunned it, and the days of breakthrough, the days of healing, the prayers of a child, it's gone, it's not there. Her husband's still alive, she's still alive, and they're both old now, and this prophet says, you will have a child. And they wanted to do something good for her because she did something good for them. And they said, what do you need? She goes, I don't need anything. But Gehazi, the meaning of the word Gehazi is seer in the low places. Thank God that God can see you in the low places when you can't see yourself. And what he wants to do is low. Who is he talking to? Somebody who's experiencing barrenness. You can have it all going on in one area of your life, but you can still be barren in another area. And God's answer is you gotta locate yourself. And that's actually a key to breaking barrenness, is to be able to know where you are. The Bible says another key to barrenness, to breaking barrenness, is not just singing. But the Bible says not just locating yourself. Yeah, that would be me. But the Bible says you got to burst into song. So I wanted to look up the meaning of the word burst just to see what it would say in a dictionary. And I was amazed at its definition. The definition of burst is this: to break suddenly and to violently, if you like, apart, to break suddenly and violently apart, spilling the contents, typically as a result of an impact or internal pressure. The Bible says that when you burst forth into song, you're bursting and breaking the internal pressure of the barrenness, and you're bringing something out of you, which is a song. And there are some people here, and you've got to learn to burst forth into song, to allow the internal pressures of what is bothering you to come out and get the breakthrough in the name of Jesus. The Bible says another key to breaking barrenness is to shout for joy. Now, I don't know about you, but I love football. How many love football? I don't like the Atlanta Falcons. They're not my favorite team. I don't care if they win or lose, Jared. Praise the Lord. The only time I find myself cheering for the Falcons is if there's a team that I don't like playing against them. And then out of love for Jared, I cheer on his Falcons. Outside of that, I couldn't give a rip. But let me tell you something. When I go to a football game and I'm cheering on the Redskins, if I'm cheering on the Jets, you know one of the things that happens in a football game? Did you know that actually the crowd, when the team that you don't want to score the touchdown has the ball, the whole crowd, what do? They what? They shout as loud as they can to drown out the communication process between the sideline and the quarterback to give the next play so the quarterback can't hear. And let me tell you, I believe one of the keys to breaking barrenness is to shout out the voices of negativity and depression. No wonder the Bible says sing and burst. The Bible says forth and shout for joy, because you got to have a shout in you that is drowning out what the doctor said, that is drowning out what the bank manager said, that is drowning out what other people around you say. You got to drown out the voices that are coming at you, and you got to shout for joy. Man, I think this is good preaching. You ought to be shouting me down right now. Come on, somebody shout right now. Let's get a shout for joy. Singers, musicians, come on back. In other words, the Bible just puts it this way. Look at me. You want to break barrenness? You got to get loud. Now, I know the Bible says, be still and know that He is God. And there is a time to be still. Matter of fact, I'm certain that if you don't know stillness, you cannot know God. Because the Bible says, be still and know that He's God. And you're looking at somebody who has spent countless hours, years probably, if I were to tell you the truth, spending time in the presence of God in stillness and quietness. But you are looking at somebody who got his greatest breakthroughs when I began to praise Him. When I began to understand the power of just getting loud and drowning out the voices of everything and everybody else, and I'm allowing there to be a bursting of that which is in me of internal pressure, and I'm breaking that thing, and I'm singing and shouting, and I'm getting myself above the situation. I mean, if you're going to get loud, you got to know spontaneity. And you're looking at somebody, I can't even begin to tell you the amount of days when I used to live in the Blue Mountains in Sydney. And I used to go into the mountains when no one else is around because I didn't want to freak people out. And I'd open up my Bible. And I found myself frustrated when I read my Bible. I felt like I just read three whole chapters and I can't remember a word. And probably more than that, I didn't even understand. Even if I remembered what I read, I couldn't understand what I read. And I thought, I've got to find a better way to get understanding from the Word of God, because this for me is not working, just sitting there and reading it. So you know what I did? I went down to the national park, where there's just trails and trees and birds and critters and animals. And I opened up my Bible and I began to read my Bible aloud. Not just quietly. And I began to sing, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter. Did you hear that, trees? Trees, are you listening to me? I will enter, I will be found in the house of God, and when I get there, I will be joyful. I will say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad, and I would keep saying it until I found glad. I keep saying it until I found joy. And occasionally hikers would walk past and I wouldn't notice them, and they thought they were in the presence of an angry man, of a man that was insane, but they found somebody who got breakthrough just by getting loud. The verse that I spent weeks and months on every time I went into the mountains: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen to what it looked like for me in the mountains. I'm walking through the trails in the Blue Mountains. There's kangaroos, there's koalas, there's critters of every nature. And I would go, Lord, I don't just want to read this Bible today. I need to read it aloud, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. God, I got to get loud. I'm not getting anything out of my Bible. I need to get something out of it. I need this to somehow get off the page and get into my heart. I need this to feed my spirit, man. Man shall not live by bread alone. I literally took bread with me, and I used to throw the bread away and say, I can't live by you, but every mouth, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so I got this Bible verse, I, and I literally spent hours, I'm not exaggerating you, talking about the letter I, that's not you, that's me. I, that means it's Stephen Gerard Patrick Gregory Kelly, who lives at 133 Rusden Road, Mount Riverview, who is a youth pastor and a preacher called by God. I, Steve Kelly, I kept saying the word over and over for hours. I can tell some of you are wishing I get off it even now, but I can't even begin to go close. I, not you, me, I, until I got an understanding of who I is, and I is I. I, Steve, Stephen, Gerard, Patrick, Gregory, Kelly. One time I went down there and I brought a mirror and I kept looking in the mirror. He's talking to you. You are he. You are I. Look at me. You, I'm talking to you. I, Steve, Gerard, Patrick, Gregory, Kelly, can. What's the word can? It's a productive word. It's not a negative word. It's a word of opportunity. It's a word, it's doing something. It's active. It's alive. It's can. I 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 can. Can. I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. I try to sound like a train. I can. 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 I'm in the mountains. I'm talking to myself. I can. Some of you aren't getting this. Some of you, it's going over your head. But I'm talking to somebody's spirit here today, because if you want to break the barrenness, you got to learn to train your soul and discipline your soul and renew your mind. And you got to learn to shut out the voices. And you got to learn how to sing. And you got to learn how to get loud. And you got to get spontaneous. I can do.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.